Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Wow. Thank God that we all have a mother. Amen. They may not be with us anymore. They may be in heaven, but thank God for our mothers. I don't know how. It's hard. It would be hard to make it without a mother's love and a mother's hand in your life as you grow up. So important. I thank God that He gave us mothers and fathers and families and our children and all that goes on. God cares so much for us. Want to kind of shift gears just a little bit and kind of talk about what the Lord wants to share with us this morning. I haven't been the easiest preacher. You know, you got a lot of preachers that go around and they just share love and they make you feel so good. I had one lady in a church before. She says, "I felt good when I went to church," but she says, "I don't feel so good when I leave." And I'm like, wow, all right. You know, and sometimes we got to learn to receive the word and even sometimes the hard things that we may not understand, right? There's a purpose in it. And the word says be instant in season and out of season. Preach the word. You know, it's important to do that. So I try to be very obedient to the Lord in everything. And there's a reason for that, because if I am, and if I share the word the way the Lord wants me to and all that He gives me to share, He does that for a reason, and He can bless His people. See, He wants to bless us. He wants to chase us down and just put a blessing on us. And we need to realize that, but sometimes we may not understand, or maybe we kind of think the wrong way. We've been told the wrong thing somewhere. And so it makes it hard for us to really to receive the goodness of God. And I don't want that for us. And so I thank God. You know, God does give us some little messages once in a while to kind of show us where we're at and what He's doing in our lives and what we can look forward to and so forth. And so we got a word this week. Lucy got the word, wrote it down. A lot of times she gets personal messages that are for her. But I believe this time she got one that's for all of us. So I asked her if she would read that for us this morning. So I'm sacrificing some of my time because we want to hear what God has to say, all right?
I was asking the Lord, you know, where's the spark in our church? You know, what's going to start the spark? He says, you have asked and I will provide. Watch and see what will begin to happen. That spark will begin to show life and then will blaze. Things will begin to happen. You will be blown away. Give praise and thanksgiving for what I am going to do with the church and its people. You are a hungry people wanting to be fed. I am your father, and I will feed my flock as a good shepherd does. You have been led by the still waters for a purpose. It's kind of a little ebb, you know, nothing much, waiting for things to happen. You have been led by the still waters for a purpose. Now you will be led onward toward my purpose for your church. Are you ready? It will be a glorious journey. And my thoughts were, well, what do we need to do? You know, are we ready? He said, just listen for guidance. I will strengthen you to meet the needs ahead. Do not fear, for you are walking in my footsteps. Just stay in my path. Be at peace, do not fear. I will strengthen you all to be able to do what is necessary.
Amen.
sometimes it's something personal that I need to do better. This time I go, oh my goodness.
Amen. Will you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, even the time that we celebrate our mothers, Lord, we just thank you for how you've worked through them and how you've blessed them and how you gave them to us. So we just praise you for that, Lord. Let us always be appreciative of our mothers. And Lord, we thank you too for the word that you've given us, a word of encouragement, a word of direction. And I thank you, Lord. You're such a good God. You care so much for us. And just help us, Lord, to learn your word, to know your word, to understand what you're trying to say to us. Then, Lord, give us the heart to receive it and then to be obedient to all that you say. Because, Lord, you want to bless us. And you started that with sending Jesus. And all that he did to make us right, that we can indeed come to you. So thank you, Father, for your love, your compassion. And we receive it today. Bless your word. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in John chapter 15. We're talking about the true vine. And that true vine is Jesus. So let's read a few verses here in St. John, Gospel of John, chapter 15. I'll start with verse 1. So this is Jesus speaking here, and he says, I am. You know, we talked about the I ams, that there's seven in this chapter. So Jesus is the I am. He's everything. Amen. He's not just this or just that. He's everything. And he's who we need for sure. So he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. A lot of work that goes into pruning. You know, there's a lot of work in that. And sometimes you wonder, did I take too much off or did I take enough off? And but each one is individual. They have not made a machine that you can just drive down the row and the machine cuts off all the bad branches. It's too personal. A lot of love goes in. You got to love what you do. When you do fruit trees or when you do grapes or whatever, a lot of work and consideration goes into that, and determination and understanding of how things might grow and change. So he prunes. Sometimes it hurts, but it's for our good. Amen. Verse 3, and he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we're kind of looking at different things in here of how the vine produces, how we're getting pruned, and just the things that go on in our lives. Because You know, a lot of people don't understand what happens sometimes in our lives. Why is this? Why is that? You know, and I used to think too early on that, you know, Lord, I went to church, I prayed, I read my Bible most of the week, through the day. Why did this bad thing happen to me? You know, I'm like, I took it as if God was punishing me. But he wasn't punishing. He was pruning. He was preparing. Because he says, man, you're doing good, but I want you to do better. And I'll help you do that. Let me get rid of some of the things that are holding you back. Let me do some things here that it may hurt for now. You know, I wonder what the branch feels like when it gets cut off. For those, it hurts. But for us, when we're pruned and things are cut off of our lives and out of our lives, if we stay true to God, we hang on and just simply realize, no, God loves me. God's not angry at me and he's not punishing me. God loves me and he's pruning me and he's preparing me. So when I come, do you ever notice when you come through something? A lot of times when you're in it, you think, man, I don't think I'll make it. I don't think it's ever going to work. And we almost get to the point where we start to doubt and maybe give up a little bit. And then victory comes. And then we can look back and say, God, thank you. Thank you. You know, we've had people here that have been sick in the hospital. Bad things happen. And we prayed. And God brought them through it. Now they can look back and say, wow, that was God, wasn't it? And so we can be excited. God's working in our lives, even through the big things, the bad things, the real hard things. We can see that God is always in control. And we're always going to come out on top. Folks, we can't help but win. Amen? Because it's the Lord doing it in us and through us. So we don't need to give up and feel like we're not going to make it like the world does. So I want to look more at verse 2 now, again. Talked about it last week. And I'm going to share some things, as I told you last week, that I now believe. And I'm going to give you some scriptures, but you need to decide. You may not agree with me. It's okay. Sometimes I don't agree with me either. But anyway, get in the Word, study the Scriptures, pray about it. Ask the Lord, Lord, is this true? And if the Lord gives you a lot of Scripture or some Scripture to where you've got some great understanding, I want you to come to me and talk to me about it, okay? Because I don't know if anybody in here is perfect, right? We don't know everything, but we know the one that does. And so that's why we really need to get in and study the Word. You know, sometimes I like to throw things out there that make people think. They wonder, what's he talking about? Where's he coming from? Where does he get that? Well, don't get angry at me. Just realize that I'm trying to get you interested in the Word, that you'll maybe go and dig for yourselves. I've been so messed up with different things in the Bible and the teaching because I just took the word of somebody else. Have you ever done that? Well, I want to know for myself. It's like one guy thought that my daughter, she got to the point to where she could read the Scriptures and then she sorted them out and then at times she would disagree with me. Now, she was still wrong, but anyway, she disagreed with me. And now she knows better. No, not really. But this one guy thought, does that make you angry? In fact, he said it to my daughter. He says, does that make your dad angry that you don't agree with him all the time? And she asked me if it made me angry. And I said, no, I said, I love it. I love it. I said, I don't want you to go around believing the word and just say, well, Dad said, Dad said, this is what Dad said. I'm like, no, read it and see what God says. Amen. And so that's what I do with you. I lay things out. I'm not really apologetic for that at all. I just want you to know the truth. And the word says, if you know the truth will set you free. And so I want us free. I don't care if you agree with me all the time. I hope that you do, but if you don't, that's all right. But don't just get angry. I want you to get in the word and say, I'm going to prove him wrong. This is what I believe, so I'm going to go in there and search it out. And I welcome that for you. I welcome that. So anyway, verse 2, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. I think there's things that a lot of times are in our lives that hinder us from growing in the Lord, from progressing, from producing fruit. There's a lot of people that hold back, and I've talked to people before, and I said, well, you know, don't you really think you ought to give this up or let this go? I said, you can't change it anyway. All you're doing is holding on to worry. And that brings confusion because then you don't know either or understand it. And so now you can't really progress on the Lord because you feel slighted. You feel like, well, maybe God isn't really for me. So there comes in doubt and unbelief and all. Folk, we're moved by faith. That's how we grow. God has got to cut things off and out of our lives in order for us to produce. And we think that we have to have it, no matter what. And it's like, you just need to trust God and let him do what he needs to do. You know, if we don't, it can really mess us up. How about the rich young ruler? Remember when he went to Jesus? He was a good man. From his youth up, he said. Jesus said, well, you know the law. And you know the commandments. Keep them. Love your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't kill. All of that. And then he looked at Jesus and he says, well, Lord, I've kept that from my youth up. And he was waiting for the pat on the back. And Jesus said, yet one thing you lack. One thing. See, Jesus was trying to prune him. See, he had a lot of riches, a lot of responsibilities, and he was happy with all of that. But he couldn't serve God because it was in his way. He's wanting to know how to be saved. How do I work this out? I think he knew in his heart that there was an issue, there was a problem. And so Jesus said, yeah, that one thing that you're missing, let me tell you what it is. He said, sell all that you got. Give it to the poor. And he said, take up your cross. And he said, follow me. And the young man heard that. And he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And so therefore he left sorrowful. And Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom. You know, we all have things sometimes that's in our way. You know, Charlene and I, when the Lord called me to preach, I remember when he did that. Man, I was in a cow lot pushing manure. And I got off the tractor and I knelt down. And I said, God, I give you my life. You call me to preach, I'll go. I'll do whatever it is. I won't let anything stop us. Went to church the next Sunday, and I didn't know what to do, how to even say that God's called me to preach and I'm surrendering, that the church could pray over me and get ready to send me out. And a young man that was working for me on the farm, that Sunday he went forward and surrendered to preach, and I'm sitting there, I'm just dumber than a box of rocks sometimes. And I'm thinking, oh, that's how you do it, huh, Lord? So the next Sunday I went up and surrendered to preaching the word. And then we gave up the farm. See, the farm was my life, folks. I love farming. It gets in your blood. And I just love it. And I'd give and walk away from it. Lord says, get rid of the farm. I'm like, okay. We never hesitated. Even my wife, she's kind of like, you know, I'm going through all this, and the Lord's sharing a lot of this and with me. And she said, you what? We're what? Well, she didn't know what the Lord was doing, but what she did is she trusted the Lord in me and trusted the Lord to do and say the right things. And so we left. And let me tell you, when we left, you would think it'd be more of a bed of roses for you. Like, God, I honored you. I did what you said. I let this go. I wasn't like the rich man that refused to. We did it. But we went through a lot of, see, I had a lot of work that had to be done on me. I was full of junk. And the Lord had to deal with all of that. And still is. Not near as much anymore, but he's still dealing with things. But we are so much better for it. So much better. God's blessing our children. He works through them. He speaks through them. You've seen two of them here already. I brought them in, you know, brought them here so that you could see that God does work through the family. But see, God's been good to us, but we had to allow the pruning to go on. We had to learn to just trust God through all of these hardships, all of these issues, so that he could use us. Let me tell you, folks, it's not easy. But it's worth it. It's really worth it. So he prunes us. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So this verse highlights the importance of bearing fruit in the life of a believer. Branches that do not produce fruit are removed, while those that do are pruned and pruned to enhance their productivity. A believer who is not actively living out their faith may experience, as I said last week again, spiritual stagnation. Folks, a lot of people get bored being a Christian. They just get bored. Oh, is it Sunday already? We got to go to church? And they go. But it's like nothing's happening. And I don't blame you. I'd be bored too. It's like, man, I got to have God working in my life. I thought, all right, they told me that they had me cleared for the prison last week, for Thursday. So I thought, all right, I'll go. But who knows? I know how government works, you know. So we went up there and I went to sign in. They said, I'm sorry, you're not even in the computer. You've not been approved. See, I've gone for 2 years before that. Now all of a sudden, they won't let me in. So the other two went in. I went over across the street because you can't wait there for them. So I spent 3.5 hours sitting over at the gas station waiting for them to go in and minister at the prison. I'm like, in total, with our trip up and back and all that, I wasted over 6 hours. But it's okay. I kind of had my feelings when I went in that, Lord, am I really supposed to be doing this now? See, my commitment's here, It's with you guys. This is where my commitment is. And I thought, well, I'll just break off and maybe I can just once in a while do a little bit for them. Not every Thursday, but once in a while. And it, to be honest, I did not feel real comfortable about that. The guys are up there begging for me to come in. But see, the Lord kind of shut that off. I've been trying for, 7 months now? Trying to get approved in there and to get back in. So I think the Lord's got a hand in that. Amen. So I'm okay with that. But anyway, he prunes us. A believer who is not actively living out their faith may experience spiritual stagnation, while those who are engaged in ministry and service may find that God refines them through challenges, 6 hours worth, leading to a greater effectiveness. You know, Romans 11, verses 19 through 22, you know, it talks about how God cut the original branches off, which was Israel, because of their unbelief. He cut them off. And then with us, Gentiles who are off of a wild olive tree, he grafts us in their place. But you see, we can't say, oh, well, we're better than you. You've been cut off, but God's grafted us in. The Lord says, be careful, because he says, as I cut them off, he says, I may cut you off too. So that brings me to a point here. You might ask me, and I've been asked this before, do I believe once saved, always saved? No, I don't. I do not. Now, some of you may, because you've been taught that. But it's like, search the scriptures out for yourself. You decide. You find out. You know, I feel this way. If I always walk with the Lord, and I never fall back or whatever, I'm determined, and I do that until Jesus comes, why would I even worry about losing my salvation? You know what I mean? But if you're up to no good, maybe, to where, hey, I get tired of this, I'm done, I don't want to go to church for now, I'll lay back and take it easy. Or I won't walk with God, I won't study anymore, I'm done with prayer for right now. God understands. Big guy upstairs understands. Folks, that could be dangerous. Now, let me tell you, if I believe that I can lose my salvation and it encouraged me to walk strong with the Lord, allowing him to work in my life by faith, and you believe that that's not true, that once you say the sinner's prayer or whatever, that you're good. If I'm right, where does that put you? But then again, if you're right, I'm still good. Amen? Either way. So if you end up being right, doesn't matter to me. I'm still golden. But if I'm right and you're wrong, there could be an issue. Amen. So that's why I throw it out to you. Because these are things that I think we need to understand. So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to say, hey, Jesus is not a pushover. And if his father wasn't in charge of taking care of everything that grew on the vine and didn't prune things, now, what kind of clutter do you have? Can we really produce like we should? Because if he didn't, you'd have people in the church when the preacher preaches, they might stand up and say, ah, that's a lie. That's dumb. That's not right. This is what I believe. And I've had that happen before. So anyway, that's where I'm at in that. Do I believe we can lose our salvation? No. No. We cannot lose our salvation. You can choose to walk away, but you don't just lose it. You know what I'm saying? Because then that would be kind of scary. It's like, oh man, did I mess up and lose my salvation? Now I'm always in fear, in doubt, wondering, God, did I do the right thing? Lord, am I okay? God, if I died now, would you take me to heaven? Lord doesn't want that. Folks, you walk away, and when you walk away, you know that you do. So you're not going to lose your salvation. But you got to make the choice. Are you going to throw it away and walk away? Or are you going to stand strong and say, God, I don't understand some of this that's going on in my life. But Lord, I want you to know that I do trust you with it. You said to pray, and Lord, I'm going to pray. You tell me, Lord, to stand strong, and I'm going to stand for you. Just give me the strength to do that. So can you lose your salvation? Absolutely not. But you can't throw it away and count it of no importance. And I think people have done that. Romans 6, 15 through 16 says this. It says, what then? Paul speaking says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Folks, I was in part of that grace movement. It's like, hey, man, you could do everything and it didn't matter because we're under grace. Doesn't matter. And Paul says, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Folks, if we walk in sin, who are we slaves to? Who are we following and honoring? Well, it's the enemy. Whether of sin leading, now listen, whether of sin leading to death, our obedience leading to righteousness. You see, we have a free will, and we can choose to fall away. And unbelief can really control us. How about 2 Peter 2:20 and 21, these two verses, says that 2 Peter 2:20 and 21, it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they were again entangled. So now they're saved, but now they get entangled again. So they get entangled in them and then overcome. And it says the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And that's sad, folks. That's sad. So to me, that kind of shows that, no, I'm under grace because I can't pay for my sins. Jesus did that. That's his grace to me. But now I want to walk with him at any cost, at any price. I trust him with that. But you know, I think a lot of problems is with people that they refuse the leading of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives, and we receive him when we're saved. But he's the one that gives us the glue, the stick-to-itiveness, to to trust God, to walk with him, to believe him. And so he guides us, he trains us. But if we refuse him, then we could run into problems because we can't do it on our own. Amen. Acts 7:51 says this. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, it says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." He says, "You always resist the Holy Spirit." Folks, I know there's things that the Holy Spirit does and allows us to do. There's reasons for it. But the man that is worldly, they can't comprehend. They don't see any reason for it. They don't know why it is. They just think it's of the devil. So they throw it all out. You know, it's kind of like throwing a baby out with the bathwater. And it's like, no, there's a reason for what the Holy Spirit does. You know, like speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and all of this. People get so bent out of shape over that. It's like, folks, you just don't understand what it does and what it's for. So get in the Word and study it, search it out, ask the Lord about it. I'm not trying to convince you. You know, really in anything. I just want to lay scripture out there and encourage you to look stuff up for yourselves. We serve such a God. He cares so much for us, folks. You know, he even says, if a son would ask for an egg or a piece of bread, would you give him a stone or a scorpion instead? Man, if we ask God to bless us and our heart is content to walk with him and to serve him, would he let us go in the wrong direction? Would he do that? Would you do that with your child? No, you wouldn't. Well, God is a perfect father. We just try to be, right? To the best of our ability, but God's perfect. He knows. We've got to learn to just trust Dad. And he'll take care of us. So if you don't understand something, go to the Word. That's why he printed it out for us. Amen? Get with other people. Get in a Bible study. Talk to people. It's like, well, that's what I did. Folks, because all of this was new. I preached against all of this at one time. I believed in once saved, always saved. I was against speaking in tongues and all of that. But see, God had to deal with me. Yeah. Let me tell you, God had a hard time with me, I think. You know, it didn't come easy for him or me. Let me tell you, you go through some tough times. But I've learned that now it's a lot easier to change because I've finally decided I just got to learn to give up to God. Amen? Why fight it? You're going to lose anyway. Did you ever notice that? You're going to lose. So just let go and let God. Learn to trust him. God, I don't understand it, but who am I? I don't know anything anyway. God, you know everything, so I trust you. Holy Spirit, you lead me. If you want me speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, give it to me. I'm ready. Did you ever answer a phone talking in tongues? I did that at work one day. Because it was a new thing. God just gave me the gift, and I was praying in tongues. The phone rang, and I'm like... I'm like, airport, you know. And they didn't ask me what I was saying before, but it was only a couple words. So I just tell them I was clearing my throat or something, you know. But folks, when you share with people, you tend to look foolish. And you look at them as, man, your guys are really... really foolish. No, when you start walking in faith, let me tell you, you look foolish to the world because they don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to them. But yet we're blessed. I hope I'm getting through to you. I don't mean to run you off, make you feel bad or anything, but folks, I think this stuff is really important. I really do. God's given us some promises here. Do you hear what he's saying and he's showing us? So I trust God with you guys. I'm not going to push you, hopefully, faster than you're ready to receive. See, I've got to move slow so that God can really help you and give you an understanding and a way to grasp all that he's trying to show you. Do y'all know that there's so much more to God's word than we'll probably ever understand? Y'all know that? God is so more. If you ever think you got God figured out, let me tell you, you don't know anything. So why don't we realize that, hey, why would we question God? Why do we question his word? Why do we refuse to believe sometimes? And a lot of people do. So I don't care what you say. This is what I believe. Do you know there's one thing in the Bible that's not in there? There's one thing in the Bible that's not there. Your opinion. Your opinion's not in there. It doesn't matter what you really think or say as such, because it's not going to change the word. So we need to get rid of our opinions sometime. Amen? I had a lot of opinions. I was what they called opinionated. I had more than my share. But God sure did have to cut that stuff off. So I pray that you take this as an encouragement to you. I'm just a minister trying to serve God and walk with him and to share with his people. See, a lot of pastors, they want everybody to love them. Well, I do too. But you know, it's more important for me to have God love me and be satisfied with me and happy with me than it is for yours. Because you all know your opinion changes every time, right? You might have liked me last week. This week, you probably hate me. You know what I mean? It's okay. I'm still going to preach the word. And if I do, if I don't, then what good am I? I'm a waste, right? Anybody can come in here and make you feel good, but is it changing your life? Is it drawing you closer to the Lord? Folks, you got to know that I do care for you, and I do love you. And but I do love the Lord more. And so I think the Lord is just offering us an opportunity that, hey, I shared with you what I want to do and what I'm doing. Are you ready to go? Are you ready? This is what I'm wanting to do. You come along. Y'all know you came a long ways already. From an old Presbyterian background, you guys are doing great. Excellent. So open and hungry for the word. You don't find that much in churches. You really don't. God can't use them. Can't do anything. At that point, he won't even prune. He'll just let you be that old dried up branch on them. Others are producing, but they're not. I think I've done enough damage. Father, thank you for this time and for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the promises and the direction that you've just shared with us today with that prophecy, Lord, that Lucy had. Thank you so much for the encouragement. Lord, I thank you that you teach us your word. Help us to receive it. And Lord, just to learn to walk by faith, trusting you in everything. You're such a good God, and you care for us. Lord, I pray that we all give you a chance to work in our lives. And you will, and you will do it mightily. So Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read a blessing over you. I didn't do that last time. I don't know where I was. I was in another zone maybe. But let me confess this over us, and I think it's important. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen.